fucking do.
Good morning, everybody. It is Friday. Yip-tee fucking do. You made it to the end of the week. How excellent. And yes, we are gathered here on this Friday morning with Ben, who has availed himself to us.
Yes, hi.
Despite the fact that he's flying to Cape Town later.
Yeah.
James wants to do some sort of not-so-amazing race where we like follow you to the airport or something.
I think what James was thinking about, remember that time where I was in the car and then I had to talk and it was a bit of a mess and you said...
No, that was quite entertaining. Yeah. It was quite entertaining.
Look, I mean, it's quite boring going to the airport, but the thing is you've got to get there a certain time, otherwise your whole day is fucked.
Don't worry, I've got a list of really cool shit that I want to do, so I'll do this instead of following you in your car, because I don't think that's going to be very exciting. So,
well, that's a nice way to start the show, guys. Just put me down. Great,
that's what we do. All right, well, good morning, and from the producers, from Flex and James, they're sitting in there. They don't want to take any abuse this morning, so please don't dish it out yet. Only when they really deserve it, okay?
When do they ever want to take abuse?
You know? No, well, you know, you get those masochists.
You don't ask for these things. You enjoy them.
No, you get people who actually like, they like the dominatrix whipping them a little.
Yeah, I guess.
You get those people.
I thought about that woman the other day, actually. Oddly, in traffic, I just thought like...
That's funny, because I haven't thought about it very much at all. Tell me more.
No, I was just... my mind is buzzing with things at any given stage. It's a wonder that I get to sleep at night. But I just thought, like, does she have a boring day? Does she ever get to a point like, pretty tired of this, huh? I thought to myself,
it's like, this sheikh from Abu Dhabi, I don't know if I want to paddle him on the ass anymore for the 500,000 dirhams that he's going
to
give me.
It got into my head, and I thought, you know, like, every now and again, like I don't want to edit a video, but I do it because it's what I do and I get through it. But does she ever go, okay, leather on flesh.
Bend over.
Yeah.
Now remember, I've been a very bad boy. I was bored the other night. I couldn't get to sleep. Well, it wasn't so much bored. Sometimes you just struggle to get to sleep. So I was sitting up in bed and I grab my phone. I've got the paid ChatGPT, right? So this is so much fun. You can generate all kinds of insanely interesting shit there. And I sort of ask it questions and try to catch it out and see if it can come up with anything better than a very obviously processed answer. And some of the stuff, I've got to say, it was pretty good at.
I try to do the same with Grok on X.
Yeah. Grok's very good too.
It's got an actual literal fun mode, and then you can... And right. It's the follow-up questions that you do that's where the entertainment comes in.
No, definitely. Is there a reason why we're always on the wide shot? I'll tell you what. Got to get that fucking woman with her paddle back in here. Honestly.
Can we not just empower someone around here to become the paddle woman?
Yeah, I mean, Michaela would do it.
I've seen a few idle hands around here.
Chantel could do it.
Chantel would be good at it.
I think she's too gentle.
Yeah, look, give her the right incentive. I think she could step into it.
We've actually got a full office of people. You were in there yesterday, and there aren't any desks open, and we've just moved to a bigger office because, I mean, how many people do we have now? It's like 14 or something. It's a lot.
I can tell you why you don't have any desks, because I don't have a full-time desk here.
No.
But I want to sit down to show prep and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I feel no bad space because is anyone...
Well, I don't have a desk. I have to either sit in the boardroom or I sit there in the reception with the two ladies who wash the cups.
Yeah. Those are your best friends here.
They are. They're the only people who talk to me here. I have to sit with the two ladies who wash the cups, and then everybody's always busy and they will have desks and they'll have like emails and... I don't even know if I have an email address here. Do I? No.
You can look at mine if you want.
No, I don't want to look at your email.
Not a lot goes on there.
No, not at all. Okay, so let's get into some things here. The internet is absolutely chock full of insanity at the moment, and I don't even know where to start. So let me treat you to something really good this morning.
Are you bringing out the list that you're going to use when bored of me?
No, I'm not bored. This is so great that I want to share it with you before we get to anything else. Okay. So this is a woman, number 12, James. She wants us to know. She's some kind of influencer. And she would like us to know this morning that she has just got out of hospital. Now, bear in mind, most people who come across this in their reels or whatever aren't subscribed to her necessarily. But they're going to get this anyway because she's getting a lot of attention. So the algorithm's throwing it everywhere, right? Not sure what she does. I don't know what her name is. I don't know anything about her. But this arrives on my screen. And I'm like, I didn't know I was meant to be upset that she was in hospital. But she's letting us all know that she's just been released from hospital and she's feeling much better and she's going to resume.
You can just call her Leanne. I mean, we all know who she is.
This is terrible. So she wants you to know she's going to resume her dancing. Evidently, that is some kind of clue as to what she might be doing on social media soon.
So she's in decent nick then, is what you say.
Take a look.
Hey guys, I am home. I just got discharged from the hospital and wanted to tell you guys I am home. I've been there for 8 days. That's why I haven't been recording any videos or anything. So once I start to feel 100% better, best believe I'll be up on the dance floor dancing. Much love, you all. Stay safe, stay beautiful. And say blessed.
Her poor mouth is getting ganged up on by her cheeks and her chin to a level of just sheer intimidation.
So I know we talk a lot on this show about the dating pool, right? We talk about how difficult it is for quality men and quality women to find each other. It's just a swamp out there. You've been on these apps. We've made fun of you for it for years.
Can we please say you've been on these apps a while ago?
A long time ago. Yes. All right. So Ben used to, once upon a time, he was on Tinder and those things, and now he's not. So don't go looking for him. And anyone pretending to be him now is not him.
Okay? Yeah.
But that's the market, right? That's the best you can do these days. If you're a single guy or a single girl trying to find somebody, that's where you're going to have to look. And I jokingly posted this thing this week about how my Alexa, which is connected to my phone, reminds me on a Wednesday around 9 o'clock not to get married. And I got, you cannot believe the responses I got from a whole lot of people saying, oh, no, that's so sad. All women, of course.
You'll find the right one, Gareth.
You'll find, meanwhile, pick me is what they really want to say.
Yeah.
They're just, you know. So, and I swear to God, like 25, 30 of these responses, it's like, I didn't post that. Because I think it's funny, that's all. And if you respond to it with, there's the right one will come, then you're obviously not the right one for me because you have no sense of humor.
Yes.
But anyway, there is a woman in Britain, not in America, in Britain. She was interviewed on a podcast this week. She wants to have sex with 1,000 guys in 24 hours and break the Guinness Book of Records record. Now, first of all, I didn't know that the Guinness Book of Records, and maybe it's not the Guinness Book of Records, maybe it's just a record.
Maybe it's the Jizzness Book of Records.
I don't know, because I remember I heard about the Houston 500 once.
A car race.
It's not a car race. It was a porn star called Houston, and she got plowed by 500 guys. And that in 24 hours, yeah, that's an enormous amount of punishment for one vagina to take. So this woman is in Britain. She's not that unattractive. I've got to tell you, actually, she's pretty good looking. But I'm just trying to imagine which sort of men, and it's not a great mental picture I have in my head of the kind of guys who are going to line up. She explains in this clip how there's going to be a room with two doors. And the one door is going to let them in and the other one's going to chase them out. And they really have to just go in, have one pump each.
One pump each.
Only one insertion. And then out again, in order for her to get through the 1,000 that she needs to in 24 hours. And she's apparently been in training. Just take a listen. I'll let her explain it in her own words. We can discuss this afterwards. And I'd love to hear your comments on this too. I mean, there's a lot to comment on.
That's how you are going to break the world record for sleeping with the most men in one day.
There's a time on the screen to get 1,000 guys in 24 hours. My plan kind of is to... It needs to be a room with two doors is what we're trying to work out. Like the logistics of this is insane because one thing, it's hard enough getting 1,000 guys together. It's another thing actually like making sure they all do it in the time limit. So honestly, I'm just hoping for like a conveyor belt of like they need to kind of like walk in the room one pump in, one pump out, and then leave.
What's the current world record, though?
It's 990 in. I want to get to 1,000 because, like, 900 is weak. You may as well have got to 1,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 24 hours, though.
This is why I'm training. I'm, you know, I've done the 100. I'm doing 300 in, like, a few weeks.
It's like a boxing match.
It really is. It really is. But I think as long as they're in, out, in, out, in, out, it's going to be pretty quick. I think I'll get sore towards the end, but I think I've got the right determination just to be able to push on.
So,
So, you know, I'm a stickler for
1,000 men.
I'm a stickler for stats and competition. The Houston 500, was it a one pump thing?
I don't know. I didn't watch it
because
I I only know about it because it was a similar story. I don't know, like 10 years ago. And that was then considered, I think she made an entire porn movie about it back in the days when they actually used to, I don't know if they made it on VHS or on DVD or whether it was something that you could already download at that point. But this is a whole different ball game.
A lot of that just looks like it's a lie. But if she's thinking it's a, again, it goes back to what the criteria is. Do Guinness Book of Records come out there with their notepad and go, right, you could be entered by 1,000 men? Because sex and penetration are two different things.
I'm very concerned for this woman. First of all, I mean, I hope her parents are dead because...
Yeah, I imagine seeing that.
Watching your daughter being plowed by 1,000 men.
Where do you go after 1,000 plows?
I mean, and by the way, she's in training this week. She did 100 last week. She's doing 300 this week. So she's steadily increasing the numbers. Now, whether or not those 100 will be back for the 1,000.
Well, but you know, British... think, like continuity, they should be allowed to come back.
I mean, British men, you know, with the teeth and the... I really think this is, from a health point of view, a very, very dangerous decision.
Yeah, I mean, Gift makes a good point in the comments. It's kilometers of cock.
It literally is.
Yeah, there's better things to do, huh? There's better things to do with your life and your vagina, I think.
Well,
that's just me, though.
This is the world we live in now. So you either rebel against it and have a problem with it and be dismissive, which I don't want to be. I'm curious about it, but not curious to the point where I would want to be involved. You know, I don't think I'd want to see that. I think it's going to be an absolutely horrific experience for her. I don't think that when you meet up with this woman in 10 years time, she's going to go, that was a great life decision. I'm proud of myself. This is something I want my children to know about. I want to carve into my tombstone that 1,000 men in 24 hours.
Yeah, it's social decisions like this that led to towns getting destroyed in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah,
we can always just go back to.
That's a good point.
You know, like when in doubt, just kind of go back to that as a reference for yourself.
Well, Pat, who's 1,000 years old, she hasn't. She says sorry, but she's cooked in the head. No, she's cocked in the head, not cooked in the head, Pat.
Yeah, well, she'll. I don't know. Just she's looking for one poke, so I don't know.
Listen.
It's always funny how when you see someone comment from Facebook, you know they're over 60.
What kind of guy? Yes, obviously. That's why I said that. I'm not being mean to Pat. What kind of guy would go and participate in this?
Well, don't ask me. Ask James.
James, would you take part in something like this? He'd rather stab his eyes out with a blunt spoon. Flex, would you be interested?
No, thank you.
I mean, she's not unattractive, right? She's not a horrible looking woman. I mean, if you were very hard up and your life was just not going anywhere, and let's say you let yourself go a little bit, you lost your job at the factory. Maybe, huh?
I think on that token, interviewing the 1,000 men is a far more interesting content piece. Or
trouble video. At mill, lost job at mill. Crossbeam came, skew off treadle. What am I going to do now? I guess I'll have to bung that girl.
You can always line up.
Maybe she'll fall in love with me.
You can line up 1,000 Man United fans. I mean, they're not getting you.
That's kind of what it is, right? And I mean, it's just, you know, while all of this is happening, so I know this is the most important story in Britain at the moment, because Britain is really a fallen nation.
Oh, so much so.
You know, it's a depressing, sad, steaming heap of shit. And I hate to say that because quarter of my ancestors, maybe a bit more than that, come from there. Not that I'm attached to the place at all, and I don't definitely don't want to live there. I don't hold any sort of generational or genetic pride over the way that that country's gone. And I feel like there are a tiny, tiny percentage of smart people left there, and the rest are the kind of people who want to do this sort of thing, you know, whether it's the women or the men. It's Little Britain. It's not Great Britain anymore. And to prove the point, poor old Jeremy Clarkson was part of a big farmers' protest this week. There were a couple of people who I know who went to this farmers' protest in London because they're trying to introduce new taxes, as if the farmers and landowners of Britain haven't taken enough of a beating. They're trying to find new ways to exact money from these people. So they're putting new taxes on them. In other words, the government is grabbing shit that isn't theirs to pay for stuff that they've promised people that aren't providing for themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a welfare state. You've got a lot of really dubious, unproductive people who are contributing very little to society, and yet they want free healthcare and free education and free groceries and a house and electricity and gas and water and heat in the winter. And all of this stuff must be provided. And then the productive people are squeezed because that's what essentially has happened in much of Europe. It's communism, right? And the communists just can't wait to get their filthy, dirty, stinking fucking commie hands on everything that isn't theirs. And poor old Clarkson, who's, you know, he's got a farm, but it's kind of his retirement plan.
It's a labor of love, really. I think he's highlighted how difficult farming is and how these people don't make a lot of money.
They don't.
But it's the thing in life, and they're so important to society.
And so he goes to this protest, and then invariably he gets ambushed by these cut and paste. One is the same as all the other BBC journalists. These people are among the most dreadful human beings that have ever crawled on all fours across the surface of the earth. If you ever meet anyone who's a BBC journalist, immediately try to kill them with a knife. And then once you've tried that, if it hasn't worked, because they're a bit like cockroaches, then beat them with a stick. And then after you've done that, then try to drown them in a nearby bog. Because I can promise you now, there's no good that'll come from these people being anywhere near you. Just listen to the kind of vicious, ugly, nasty stuff that these women and men who work for the BBC ask. I mean, poor old Clarkson. He's really there as a farmer to support the other farmers.
So he's someone who's worked for the BBC pretty much his whole life. He's given that so much.
Oh, they should burn that building down. Honestly, it's just so dreadful. So take a look here. Here's poor old Clarkson, who, you're right, Ben, has made probably done more for the BBC than the BBC's ever done for anyone.
Sure.
Right.
So why are you here, Mr. Clarkson?
Well, because I'm here to support farmers.
Right. Are you angry?
It's difficult to be angry on somebody else's behalf. That's like being... Yes, no, I'm not angry on someone else's behalf.
Right. So it's not about you. It's not about your farm and the fact that you bought a farm to avoid inheritance tax.
Classic BBC there. Classic. Oh, yeah. It's not the fact that... The fact that...
A burp. All right, you know what? Just leave it. It's obviously the clip's too long. It really upsets me that there are people out there just with, they go into an interview. They don't want to actually know. If it's like if I invited you here, Ben, and all I actually wanted to do was to make you seem silly. And I invited you here just to mock and ridicule you. Yeah. And I sat here for an hour just bombarding you with really nasty questions that would make you feel horrific, that would make you look stupid, and that would upset everybody who's ever known you. It would be a horrible thing to do, and yet this is what people get paid to do at the BBC. It's just
these people don't seem to have personal skills. It's like they have these strange lives where they're indoors all the time, and they're literally just answering questions or answering briefs from people who want to get a certain thing. It's like they're little drones.
But it's also that they think that by being mean, they're better journalists. You know, by being absolutely horrific human beings, they will impress, I don't know who, and that those people will go, well, you know, She's a really good journalist.
She gets to the heart of the issue. No, she's a cunt.
Yeah. That's right. That's exactly
I'm sorry,
right.
But that's how you actually got to really that's respond it. To these people.
Okay, so quickly, before we get into sport, this is the commercial of the year because everyone is talking about it. Okay. It's not good. And if you haven't seen it already, then you'll see it now. If you have, I apologize. You'll have to watch it again. Jaguar, speaking of Britain and how Britain has fallen. Of course, Jaguar is now owned by Tata, so I don't know whether there's already a problem there or not, but at least it used to be a car that, you know, men wanted to drive.
Had a soul.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the E-Type, that was a sexy car in its time.
Right? Some great cars in the 90s even.
Yeah, great logo. You remember the kind of leaping Jaguar?
Yeah.
That was a great logo. It was an iconic British brand, whether you like it or not. And this is the ad that they've come up with. This is what the new marketing team at Jaguar think best represents their brand in the marketplace.
I think that's even worse than the woman that wants to get banged 1,000 times.
I think so. I'd rather have her in my ad.
I'd rather listen to that interview with her again than ever watch that. Like, and the irony is copy nothing. They've just basically cut and paste.
Those are Benetton ads from the 90s.
They've copied everything.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're 10 years too late, even in the copying.
Okay, so for those people who are listening and are watching,
stay away from the ad.
You don't have to watch it. It's a bunch of androgynous weird people in like yellows and reds and pinks with this bright background. There's no car in the ad at all. It could be an ad for a perfume. It could be an ad for a nail polish. It could be an ad for a
suicide cult,
anything. It's just unbelievable. And I was wondering why it is. Why would Jaguar want to fuck up something so great, right? I mean, this is, whether you're a fan of the car, whether you've ever driven one or not, they've got a great reputation. And I don't think you have to push very hard to get people who are Jaguar fans to keep buying them. And if you're trying to attract a new market, then let the car do the talking, because you're not in the market for Aramat when you're shopping for a car. And that ad could be for Aramat.
Okay. It just looks like brand suicide, but so many companies seem to be okay with that.
Well,
I just don't get it.
I found out why. I found out why they've gone with this ad, because people are pulling their hair out going, why would they do this, right? So here is the new head of marketing for Jaguar. It's a guy called Santino Pietrosanti.
Okay.
Take a look. He's wearing a vest. You can see his nipples through.
I was hoping so.
And this is him talking about, try to list. I've got a pen here. I'm going to write down the catchphrases and the things he says during the course of this little speech, which he made as head of marketing about their new direction. And let's see how many of these buzzwords we can eliminate immediately for just being woke bullshit. Okay, here we are. Take a look at this guy.
And at Jaguar, we are passionate about our people. And we're committed to fostering a diverse, inclusive, and unified culture that is representative not only of the people who use our products, but in a society in which we all live, a culture where our employees can bring their authentic selves to work. And we're on a transformative journey of our own, driven by a belief in diversity, inclusion, creativity, policy, and most importantly, action. We've established over 15 DEI groups such as Pride, who are here tonight in the back. Thank you guys for coming. Women in Engineering and Neurodiversity Matters. We've launched major policy revisions such as transitioning at work to drive equity and support for our communities, embracing individuality as our superpower.
So again with irony, he's basically copied everything to make that speech. ChatGPT, the free version, has just given a gay CEO speech.
Okay, so here we go. Let's look at these things quickly. Passionate about people. Fire anyone. Just chase them out of the building. Set them on fire and chase them out of the building if they say we're passionate about people. That is what the dumbest people I've ever met say all the time. They don't know what it means. Because they actually hate everybody.
People who talk like that
don't like anybody. They say passionate about people as a way to cover up the fact that they're actually misandrists and misogynists. They just don't like anyone. Diverse. When anyone says diverse, I'm out. They must be a moron. Because you don't just win because you have lots of different color smarties in the jar. You have to put the right people in the right place. Merit does actually matter. And the world has now had enough of this crap that the more mixed up a group is, the better it is. We know that that's just nonsense. Certainly some groups seem to do very, very well. Other groups seem to do very, very, very much less well. And it doesn't have to do with the racial or sexual or gender makeup of that group. It has to do with the merit of the people who make up that particular group. Anyway, inclusive, someone uses that word, you just know it's because they were bullied as a child.
Yeah.
You just know when someone says, please include me, it's because no one wants to. The authentic, bring our authentic selves to work. No, you mustn't. Let me remind you.
Bring your professional self to work.
You bring your professional self to work. You don't bring your authentic self to work. You may be into the Marvel movies to a ludicrous degree where you like dressing up as Spider-Man in all of your spare time. And at home, you go pew, pew, and you you have ropes in your entrance hall that you swing from. And you get dressed up and you go, I am the real Spider-Man. And you fall in love with some blow-up doll called Mary Jane, but you don't bring that to work. You know why? Because it's work. And if it were all about your authentic self, it would be called home. And no one's employing you because they want you to bring all your bizarre peccadilloes to work with you. Okay, so that's nonsense too. Anytime anyone uses the word transformative, I mean, we know what they're really talking about. They're talking about gender reassignment surgery and stuff. Or they're talking about that movie with the cars that can talk, but honestly, this is childish and ridiculous. Pride.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all childish.
It's just
ridiculous.
Childish. Pride. You know, I'm not a religious person, but as far as I could tell, pride used to be a sin. In fact, pride was the worst of the seven deadly sins. It's been turned into a word, which I know loads of gay people who don't like that word. So what is it? Like, what's that all about? And then, the minute someone says neurodiversity, what they're trying to tell you is that they're going to be impossible to manage.
Yeah.
If you are hiring people and they come into an interview and they say, I'm neurodiverse, say, finish your coffee and never come here again. Because you know you're going to end up with an absolute nightmare of an employee. This person's going to be crying at HR's desk every 15 minutes. Everything triggers them. They're on the spectrum. They can't handle any kind of social anxieties. It's just going to, and they're going to do no work. There's no productivity is going to come out of that person. Transitioning at work, he mentioned as well. And I mean, I'm really picking on the speech because it was only what, like a minute long, maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And look at all these things we've pulled out of it that are just absolute shit. And no one in that audience believes anything that guy says, but they all clap like a bunch of seals.
So I mean, I was transitioning
at work. Ben, I know you've always wanted to be a woman, but you've never brought it up with me.
Don't you dare assume that.
And I'm so proud of you for not talking about your gender reassignment surgery here at work.
Oh, fuck, there goes the whole second hour of the show then. Yeah, but Gareth, I was also thinking as he was waffling that shit through his mesh vest, if the LGBTQI plus round off the 17 community had lots of money, and we're a desirable demographic to put.
And there are lots of very rich gays.
Look, there's rich homosexual people, of course. They're single-minded and successful.
They don't call themselves part of that community.
Exactly. A lot of people actually hate that kind of stuff, as you said, because it just makes them look so flaky. So all of the speech is talk to people who are not great contributors to society. They sell luxury fucking cars. Read the room.
Well,
know your market.
Well, if I showed you that video and I didn't tell you who that was, you would have no idea.
He could have been selling anything.
He could have been selling.
He copied everything.
He could have been selling pirated versions of the Houston 500, and you wouldn't know any better. And the last thing he says is women in engineering.
Yeah, ask Boeing how that went.
No, ask the one woman in engineering, because there's only one. And her name is Doris something or another. And she's very proud of being an engineer, but she's the only woman on God's green earth who wants to be an engineer. You can count the number of women who want to be engineers on maybe your two hands, and you'd be hard-pressed to find enough. Just go to your local university and go and walk into the engineering class. See how that goes for you. You look out, we're looking for a woman. And of course they will. So any woman in engineering is bound to do very well because she's going to be a rare and special thing. So she will probably have career advancement far ahead of all the guys who are as good as she is. And she'll get that because she's a girl. Some of it will be based on merit, I'm sure, because otherwise she wouldn't be able to be an engineer. You don't get to qualify as an engineer if you're dumb. But because she's a woman, she'll get to the top of every list because there are only about five on planet Earth.
And great. And good for them and good for anybody who wants to be these things. But just, it's all play.
Stop. I mean, this is 2024 now. This shit must end because people in the world have had enough. Look at the way people are voting. They don't want this woke nonsense anymore. Those buzzwords are like a shock to the system now. I don't even think people on the left want to be associated with them anymore. You can tell Kamala Harris's campaign, she danced around the idea of transgenderism as much as she could. She tried to avoid the question at all costs. Why? Because she knows it's hugely unpopular. And it did her no good to have been seen to be supportive of that stuff before. Even the left has turned its back on this stuff. So it's time that idiot brands like Jaguar get people in place who actually care about cars and driving and engines and horsepower and torque and things that actually matter to people who buy cars.
Yeah.
Really, it's just unbelievable that that fucking flopsy, mincing, great flamingo of a human being is in charge of marketing Jaguar. Now you wonder how you get an ad like that. All right, there's my rant for the morning.
Well, it's like it's another sign, you know, that was a British legacy brand. And for all the things that he was saying about breaking it down, it's like, okay, but if that didn't exist, there wouldn't be a brand. You wouldn't have a podium right now. So all these people forget is that they're so, call it what you want, counter-revolutionary, make up whatever bullshit you want. The reason they are standing, breathing, and being is because of the things that they supposedly hate.
Somebody says in the comments they see James buying the new Rainbow Jaguar. I think that's very unfair.
That's horrible.
But we will say that James has been driving with a spare tire on his car for how long?
James, it's been 3 months. I've got a photo here. I take a photo every 2 weeks.
James
can go
has
back.
Got the, you know, the one, it's the yellow with the yellow paint on it.
And it says in big warning signs, do not drive over 80.
Yeah, right. And you do, James. You know what? This is why terrible things happen on the road. You need to get that sorted out today. I mean, just your mother's not around, okay? And your father, they're in Jeffreys Bay. They're not here to look after you with these things. I know they listen to the show. I know that when we talked about how filthy your car was and dirty and embarrassing.
Which is, it's just gone back to being, may I add.
Then they got involved again. And your mom said, James, for God's sake, I didn't raise you like this. Clean your car. And you did eventually under huge pressure. And now I'm going to have to draw them in again. You need to get the spare wheel off of the back right of your car.
Sorry, can we go back? How did the spare wheel get on there? What did you do to fuck up the primary wheel to start with? A pothole. Okay, life happens. Okay, so James, it's not your fault. but it is your liability. You should really sell death policies and stuff.
Otherwise, what I'll do is I'll put a call through to Santino Pietrosanti at Jaguar and maybe ask him if he has a spare wheel hanging around.
But what are Jaguar making again? Because once you say all that kind of shit in a meeting, you're going to go into try making EVs. That costs money, research development. Imagine they're behind the game on this.
Imagine the Indian guy who like bought shares in Tata and then they bought Jaguar. He's like, well, now we're buying a good brand. And then he sees this dude. And now he sees the ad. And he's like, what shit did I buy? Imagine like some billionaire shareholder of Tata in India. He's like, the fuck is going on here?
But they must sort it out, though. They must sort it out.
He must get in there with a stick. Really? It's enough already. Okay, let's do some sport because there's a lot going on this weekend. There's a lot going on every weekend. It's getting nice and warm. Summer's definitely in full swing. So there's plenty happening, right?
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. I was at a golf course yesterday. Twice, actually, this week. I've been at a golf course just filming things. And everything's so green and beautiful now. Joburg's the best.
The word is verdant.
Verdant.
V-E-R-D-A-N-T. Okay. Everything is verdant.
The Jaguar Verdant. That could actually work.
No.
I'm trying to help them.
If it's green.
So this weekend will be the final BOC test match of the year. What a year it's been. It'll be the 13th test match. We, to this point, have won 10 of them. 2 1-point losses. So it could have been the perfect season so easily. I say so easily. Test rugby's hard. But it's a bit of a shame. But there's no doubting the Springboks are the greatest team in the world right now and potentially one of the greatest teams of all time because they've managed to be so dominant, yet they've only had, well, they've had 51 players so far they've used. Sure. In the past, dominant teams have like a core of 23 and they literally ride them like Seabiscuit to try and get every ounce of performance out of them. Rusty's basically used, he's had a bit of an experimentation year, and they are still almost perfect. That's how good this year has been. So they take on the antithesis of this, Welsh. The Welsh are so dog shit. They've lost 11 test matches. So if they lose, I think when they lose tomorrow, I think it's the first time since the 1930s that they've gone a whole year without winning a test match. They're beyond shite. And they keep bringing Warren Gatland back, which if you don't know much about Welsh rugby or Warren Gatland, just think of Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Send him out to sea for 3 months.
Oh yeah.
And cover his face with whatever seagulls like, and you'll get what Warren Gatland is.
Oh my god.
And they wheel this oak out. He's a battered old Kiwi. And the Oaks lost all these fucking games, okay? All of them. And they wheel him out, and now he's trying to like be optimistic, and he's like, you know, it's good, we can turn this around. And no, you can't. You're going to get absolutely slaughtered here. So the Boks are running out with, again, a well-changed team. They've got young Cameron Hunnicombe's going to make his probably debut off the bench. Ibbins on the bench. They've rested Ox. But look, it's a quality Ox side.
I saw you standing up for Ox the other day. You were talking about the lineup and who they should keep in and who they should get rid of.
Well, it was the World Player of the Year. So World Rugby, obviously, every year they decide who their best players are.
Right.
And then, obviously, it's all very, very subjective because rugby is a team game. I mean, how do you compare Chesil and Colby with Ox and Chair?
Yeah.
How do you compare Ibn Ezebeth with insert English person? You know, it's almost impossible. So there's like when Dan Carter was World Player of the Year, it's like, sure, he's the New Zealand fly half. He's damn handsome. He does underwear adverts and he kicks fucking points and they won games. Okay. So you can see that.
Right.
But it's the whole quarterback thing all over again is that they're the guys that make all the plays. So they get all the accolades. But if you look how rugby's changed and how dominant our scrum is, you've got to celebrate the core of what that is. And Ox is the best scrummer in the world. Maybe not technically people can always have arguments about other people. But when Ox scrums, he fucks Oaks up.
That must be a massive criteria. He's got to be one of my favorite players. And I don't know a lot of them. But I know Ox.
he's phenomenal. He is. But at the same time, people are saying, well, Ibn Ezebeth shouldn't be there. What else could Ibn have done? He's 6 foot fucking nine and he's given his heart and soul. Most caps Springbok, he's the most energetic guy in that field. And again, he fucks Oaks up.
Yeah.
So Kieran, Irish name Doris.
Doris.
Yeah. So Doris is the fourth Oak. So there's Peter Steptoe-Toy who basically wins.
Doris.
Yeah, he's Irish. There's Peter Steptoe-Toy who basically wins man of the match on every test match. He's played both lock and flank for the Springboks this year. Phenomenal. Yeah. He should win. Right. Ibn should also win. Chesson's fucking Chesson Colby. He should also win.
Right.
And then there's Irish Doris, who's also great. But it's such a
Irish Doris.
I'm so torn as to like how this thing should be, because all of those oaks have merits. And then you think, what else could Jesse Creel and Damien Allender have done? So that's the World Player of the Year thing that's World Rugby have got going right now. And Ox didn't even get a nomination. Okay. So this thing's been going since 2001. A prop has never won it. Props get no love.
Well, I did see that the Irish won Best Butter the other day. There was a world competition for butter, and Kerry Gold Butter from Ireland was the winner. But of course, Ireland is very well known all across the world for their excellent butter. So well done to the people of Ireland, particularly the people at County Kerry, for their Kerrygold butter.
Amazing. Lovely, you know, huh? Ireland,
they can win that, but Doris...
Ireland do win
Doris
things.
Doris is no competition.
They just don't win World Cups. And also, Doris is 26. Show some fucking respect to our guys who have been doing this day in, day out. I know it's an of-the-year award, but Doris has got a long way to go still. Absolutely long way to go.
You can't be a rugby player and win an award and be called Doris. You just can't. Sorry.
Yeah, he's a good player, though. I mean, he basically single-handedly won the test match against us this year.
Okay.
It's good. Okay, so there's still autumn series internationals. Which camera's buying?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So Argentina taking on France this weekend. Now, Argentina almost beat Ireland last week. Very, very close game. France did beat New Zealand by 1 point. So that'll be a good game. That's tonight at 10 o'clock. So it's quite a late one. Then Saturday, tomorrow, Ireland, Fiji, 10 past five. That'll be entertaining. And then these bedraggled, hopeless Welsh. So if again, going back to just a snapshot of Welsh rugby, is that basically in the past...
Oh, my fun way, I am so down.
In the past, you would get some chunky farm boys, slap a bit of self-tan on them, frost their tips, and give them glamour model girlfriends. And the Wales were actually decent on that formula. But now, you know, he's got nice oaks, and they're pretty useless, and there's a couple of players in there.
So ever since they closed down the mines.
And look,
ever since they stopped the Welsh
prior to that, it was the mines, yeah.
Yeah, they should never have stopped the mining. That was what kept them fit.
Yeah, so the Box are going to win that one, obviously, 20-8. And then Italy versus New Zealand, that's the final game on Saturday. That's a biggie. That's a biggie, because New Zealand have done well on this tour, like really, really well. Obviously, they lost to France last time. And it's been a long tour as well. Italy, fuck, these guys are shite. Italy are like, they're so disappointing. They should do better. They get all the opportunities to play in Europe, but then they just disappoint. But Premier League football is back, which is hugely exciting, because I've been trying so hard to get into this as it's Arsenal's year.
You think
they've been trying very hard to dispel that theory. But you know, you get into the rhythm of watching these games, and then suddenly there's one of those stupid fucking international breaks. We have so much football. It's football, 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 as I've been saying for months, but nobody wants to watch Luxembourg versus Liechtenstein or Haaland playing for fucking Norway. We want to see them play clubs.
Yeah.
Football must grow up and realize that club is better than country. It always will be. So it's back on though. So Leicester versus Chelsea, 2:30 Saturday. Arsenal are taking on the might of Nottingham Forest at 5. Bournemouth are taking on Brighton. Those two teams have been very resurgent, I think is a nice way of saying something about them.
Right.
And then Man City are taking on Spurs, who, as my co-host on the Bounce Show said, they've snuck a few sneaky wins this year.
Oh, is that Sandile's considered opinion?
Well, no one likes Spurs. No one supports Spurs. And they are they're shite. They've won nothing.
Yeah.
But they've beaten Man City. They beat them in the League Cup. Look, they're going to get trousered here, I think. So that's 7:30 on Saturday. Let's move on. All Southampton are taking on Liverpool. Liverpool are the most dominant team in England right now. They're looking really good.
All right.
They just lost to Nottingham Forest. Otherwise, they've been really spotless, flawless. 4 o'clock. And then Ipswich versus Man United on Sunday at 6. Now, the big thing about this game is that Man United's new manager, the next one to come and go, is this Porro has come in now, and he's hoping to do the best thing for them. So he's left Sporting Porras, and he's now taking on Man United's whatever.
Sporting Porras.
No, I mean, that's not their real name.
By the way, you found a place that's called Porras Chicken.
Yeah, at the cricket last week.
Right. So Ben took a picture of the sign. It says Porras Chicken. If it's on a sign, Porras, we can use the term.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, it can't be politically incorrect if someone's calling their business Porras Chicken.
That's the actual name of the business, Porras Chicken.
So That's your name now.
Yeah. Maybe I went a bit too far by saying you came from a Sporting Boris. All right. There's also Telkom Knockout Cup. So this team called My Guest, he's come out of nowhere of late. They're in the Premier League. And they're taking on Sundowns for the Telkom Knockout Final. That's Saturday at 6. Doubt they're going to win that one, but good on them. And then this weekend, the Formula One is back. It is the Formula One of Las Vegas. So Las Vegas is obviously a night race. They've got the sphere. They've got all the lights.
Oh, that sphere is something else.
It's actually really cool. I mean, I watched this race last year. You know, people, like the purists of any sport, always have to object to something that's new to validate the fact that they're purists. And yeah. I get that. I really do. But if you're looking from, you know, a lot of F1's audience is relatively new. It's the Netflix generation onwards.
Sure.
And I think this is the ultimate race for that.
Yeah.
Monaco is a dog shit Grand Prix. It's fucking boring. The track sucks. No one likes it. But because it's Monaco and it's a tradition and all that kind of romance, people get excited about it. Las Vegas to me is a better race to watch. It's the Las Vegas Strip. It's there. It's all completely manufactured. But so is Monaco. Those oaks climbed a mountain, clapped a few oaks, stole some money, and then you had Monaco. So
The Grimaldis.
No one should get on their high horse about cities, towns, and races. This is a good race, entertaining. And Max Verstappen, I think, is just going to basically rubber stamp his win here. Lando Norris, all those other upstarts, they were nipping at his heels.
Yeah.
And in the last race in the wet, he just basically over all their foreheads.
Nice.
And he's gonna win again.
Okay.
That's the thing. Very good. No, it's good to be the boss. And then finally, Test cricket has started for the summer season, basically. Now, Test cricket is what I've been saying in the past is what rich nations play.
Yes.
So India, hugely rich. They own cricket along with Australia. They're going to be playing 5 test matches in Australia.
Just remind me to tell you something about India at the end of this.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it's shitting related. I'll tell you what, Aussies,
it is,
Aussies are shitting all over the Indians right now. It's 51-4 on the first test in Perth. India chose this. They brought this upon themselves. They chose to bat, and they're currently 51-4. And that will be running until mid-Jan.
All right, so India is a filthy, dirty disgrace of a country. It really is. I mean, like, there is no country on earth that's a bigger trash heap than India. There's a game that people are now playing online with Google Earth where you drop a pin anywhere in India and you do Street View. And if there's trash, you have to go again. But if you find a place where there isn't trash anywhere in India, then you win the game. And the stakes are getting higher and higher because people just can't find anywhere in the country.
Yeah, well, if you've got pockets of Mumbai, you'd be all right.
Take a look. So we've got this video. This is number 26. It's the Indian trash heap. This is phenomenal. You could play this at home right now if you have Google Earth, and who doesn't? You just drop a pin anywhere, then go into Street View, and you do a 360. And if you see any trash, obviously you lose. If you manage to find any place in India that doesn't have, like, just refuse and garbage and rubbish and turds in the picture.
Or people making turds. That's
also... Oh, you find people squatting. I mean, like, seriously, Indian Google Street View is... It's phenomenal. The things you will see there. Literally, some guy in Gujarat just taking a cuck right there. And the car's driving past with the cameras on. He doesn't even stop. He doesn't even pinch the loaf and say, hang on, wait for the car to go past. He carries on.
Yeah, these Indians, I mean, I like to do a deep squat because it stretches my spine a bit and it alleviates lower back tension. But if I do that now, because of what India does, people think I'm having a poo. And I for one, am quite upset about this.
So take a look. Here it is, number 26.
You win when you find one Street View place where there is no, like,
full 360 turn where you can't see trash or just, like, rubble on the ground.
Like, exactly.
Please just do one round. Just drop it in once and just see.
Where?
Right. Anywhere. Anywhere in India.
Anywhere.
What happened? It's delayed.
My farm.
So it's increasingly an embarrassment. You know, I mean, they've got in India, they've got incredibly high levels of education, modern education in the system now. And they have probably some of the smartest people in government anywhere in the world. They really do. Modi's got an incredible team of very smart people. But the bottom of society, people shitting in the street.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you have so much of society.
Just that's so also
many,
true. That's
so many people. There will be so many tears.
All right. So here is a Mesopotamian complaint tablet. This shows you how far back Karens stretch in history. Okay, so this is a clay cuneiform is the writing that the Sumerians, Babylonians, Assyrians used to use. And there you can see a tablet that's probably about, I don't know, 3,200 years old. And it's a complaint about a delivery of the wrong grade of copper. It's at the British Museum. And basically it's someone going, I ordered this from you and you sent me the wrong kind of copper. And I'm very upset about that. And I want to speak to the manager. That's what that is. So,
well, I mean, look, could be repeat offenders.
I do think, I mean, it's just funny to me, but humans haven't changed in like thousands of years, right? And we're unlikely to change. That's one of my best things off the internet this week.
Must be so hard to complain because you had to carve something.
Yeah. Oh, no, it would take you a long time. Yourself. Get a little stick with like T-shaped things and you'd have to get a soft piece of clay. and then you have to send it there, right? So look at how much is written on that. That's a lot of stuff about...
But at some stage, you would have just have shouted at somebody and they were like, no, put it on the tablet.
Yeah. You'd go to the office of the grade of copper people, right? And you'd go to the booth and there'd be someone in the booth and they'd go, yes, can I help you? And you'd go, well, I got a delivery the other day and it was wrong. No, put it on a tablet. No. Sorry.
It's just here, sir, until you carve it into stone.
We have processes here. And we just hired a new guy in HR and I'm not allowed to talk to you until you bring me a tablet. And by the way, he also wants to do a woke ad for copper. Okay. So, by the way, here's an interesting idea. This was spotted in four ways the other day. Where is this, James? I want you to show everybody. Number 18. This would be a great campaign for Jaguar. And James wants a sticker like this for his car. It's very, very clever. So first of all, listen to the rhyming. It's just absolutely incredible here. Terrible idea, but great use of words. And some people would say not such a terrible idea. What would you put on your car if you were looking for a new logo and you were inventing four-door sedans? What would you say, Ben? You've been in advertising. Yeah, come up with a good slogan for us.
For that kind of car, four-door sedan.
Yeah, four-door sedan, yeah.
I really want a four-door sedan, so it's like, it's about time, motherfucker.
Okay, so here's a great line. Just take a look at this. Number 18, go for it. Four doors, more whores.
Four doors for more whores.
Four doors for more whores. I mean, doesn't it just roll off the tongue beautifully? It does kind of have
sounds like a very expensive way of living, but I love it. I mean, it's
charming.
Five words.
Four doors, more whores. Just it feels like, yeah, there we are. Jaguar. Four doors, more whores.
See, I mean, like when I said I wanted a luxury sedan, that wasn't the thing that came to mind, but it's an option. I see you got four doors in this new car of yours.
No, well, no, more hatchback bullshit. We need four doors for more whores. James loves it. He's going to get that sticker for his car.
You know, like Tebow Touch and those oaks, they made a big thing of like four pipes.
Yes.
Because four pipes and you're running a V8 or something really sporty. I think that's the new luxury here. You got four doors.
More whores.
How many doors have you got in your car, Gareth?
Only two.
Me too. See, I've only got two doors.
How pathetic. James has two and a boot.
James has four doors, but he's only got three wheels though. So that's where, unfortunately, doesn't get the full effect.
Three wheels, no meals. Oh, it's so sad. All right, let's look at the comments quickly before we take a break at 7. Bitcoin Butt says, listen, I worked on the cruise ships with Indians and Filipinos. I prefer the curry munchers. Isn't that rude? That's racist, isn't it? Calling them that? Isn't that racist?
But he's saying how much he likes them, people he's referring to.
Well, I still think you need to measure your language there, my friend Bitcoin Butt.
Okay,
but just Bitcoin is doing well doesn't mean you have to lord it over the rest of us. Ben and I were talking about this earlier. All the Bitcoin boys are going absolutely ballistic at the moment. They're having such a good time. And I think they're getting a little outside of themselves here, if you ask me. Bitcoin Butt with terms like that. Janine says, my boyfriend remembers the lady that wrote on that tablet. That's how old Janine's boyfriend is. In cuneiform, 3,500 years ago, with the complaint about the grade of copper.
Bitcoin is up from this.
What's Bitcoin at now?
$98,727.
Oh, Jesus. I wish I hadn't sold so much of mine. Oh, man. But I'm not getting in on the hype. No, India is competing with the Nigerians to be the top scammers in the world. Let me tell you, I bumped into a friend of mine this week. Entirely by chance, he told me he'd been scammed. He was expecting a package to come through from the US. He'd ordered something online for his wife. So he was expecting it. Then he got an email from these guys with the branding and everything of the courier company. You got to pay this amount for customs and excise and VAT and all the rest of it. So he thought nothing of it. He's like, well, obviously this is what has to happen. So then he clicks through to the link. He puts in his credit card details, but before he didn't even put the
CVV.
Yeah, the CVV, the kind of code that you put in when you're going to make a payment. And he didn't press pay. And they still got his details. Charged him $5,000 and then took another $5,000 off. So he called the bank. No, sorry, the bank called him on their fraud line. So it came up on his phone, Truecaller, bank fraud, whatever. So he thought, oh, okay, they know what's going on. Thank God. Answers the phone. Guy with an Afrikaans accent says to him, we know that the $5,000's been taken off and another $5,000 and we can get it back for you. Log on to your app quickly and you'll get a PIN or whatever. So the guy's like, I don't know if I want to do this. Anyway, before he knows, he gets an SMS saying another $5,000's come off. The guy says, no, but check, it says reversal. He looks at the SMS. It does say reversal, but actually they've taken another $5,000. It's got to be an inside guy, right, at the bank. It has to be.
Wow.
And eventually he's 20,000 Rand down from the scam. And he's obviously he hasn't got his package yet either from the US. So he's 20,000 Rand down. Then he went to the bank and they said, oh, sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. And you're number 114 of the people on that day who've been taken out by that scam. So please be extremely vigilant, especially this time of year. We got Black Friday coming up. You know how much crazy shit people do on Black Friday. They buy things they don't need. Just be extra wary. Do not go onto sites that you don't know. I've been receiving emails from SARS, supposedly. They're not from SARS. If you check the email address, it's got nothing to do with SARS. Just delete, because even without pressing pay or putting in your CVV number, they can still get your card details and deduct money. It's really, really bad out there. So look out for that. All right. With that, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.